Welcome to season three of Abe's Front Porch Talk. Tonight's going to be chapter two of Revelations. I will not be covering all of chapter two, just part of it. Next week, I will do the rest of chapter two. It's just so long of a chapter, I'm trying to break it down, like I said in last week's episode of chapter one. So as the weeks continue till we can get through the book of Revelations, I will keep doing this each week. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Abe's Front Porch Talk. Whatever platform you are using to listen to this audio version, hit subscribe or the follow button. Look for that. Also, check out my YouTube channel and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I haven't really made up my mind if I'm going to put the audio version of the podcast on YouTube as of yet. I don't think I will be doing that anymore. I'm not 100% sure, but I will wait and find out what I decide on my own there as well. Anyways, I'm moving on to Revelations here. I think it's going to be a short podcast tonight. I don't have a whole lot to say. So I'm going to take this short break here and then we'll get started into chapter two. Alright folks, let's get started in tonight's topic here. Now, I tried to explain just in case you guys did not see, listen to last week's episode of chapter 1. I wanted to speak on the book of Revelations because there seems to be so much confusion going on in today's time with this virus outbreak. And what the book of Revelation actually says about the mark of the beast. Is this vaccine really the mark of the beast or is it not? It plainly tells you in Revelations what is the mark of the beast and what is not. And who the Antichrist is going to be and who is not the Antichrist. And I'm very shocked that there's a lot of people professing to be the children of God. And they're not being the children of God by spreading lies and false information. And basically what I just said here about the lies and false information, you're going to hear this in these scriptures here of chapter 2. And you will know what I'm talking about as soon as I read this. But, you know, this is going to be a very important thing for children to listen to and for you adults, the non-believers and those that do believe, because we all need to come back to the first love of Christ and get back to Him, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because scriptures is going to be self-explanatory. But we all need to repent, basically. And you don't have to be religious to hear this, because I do believe we're living in the end times according to Matthew chapter 24. And then what we will be talking about in the book of Revelations. Now, do I believe that the rapture is going to be coming here any time or any day? Not at this moment. I do not. Yes, I do believe the rapture is on its way, but not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, and not even next year. I want you to understand that. But we are getting ready for the second coming of the Lord, which is going to be rapturing us out. Sorry, my words are running together. I want you to understand scripture. I want you to understand, if you are being lied to by your pastor, someone saying that they're a minister, such as an evangelist, these TV evangelists are misleading people, someone that's claiming to be a prophet that can prophesy, they're all lying and misleading people in so many ways in today's time. And Revelation warns of this. So as time goes, we'll learn who are the true prophets of God and who are not, who are false. So just pay attention as I read. And let's get started here now. Everything that I'm going to be reading to you in chapter 2 that I'm reading tonight is going to be written in red. And we all know everything that is written in red throughout the New Testament is where Christ was speaking. So remember, this is the vision that John the Revelator saw, and he wrote these things down. Now, I want to say this. I believe there is an order to things to come before the mark of the beast. And this is why it's written in the book of Revelations in chapters, because it's an order that things are to come before the end of time actually gets here. Does that make sense to you guys? I hope so. So this is chapter 2 once again. I used the King James Version, by the way. I do use the NIV to a certain degree, but I mainly use the King James Version. So if you use anything else, I hope you can keep up. But here we go. This is the message to Ephesus, Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. I know I mispronounced that, so please excuse me. Write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Remember, I just said about preachers are liars. There are false prophets, and people are prophesying saying they are prophets of God, but they're actually liars. They're not, because you've already tried them. But I'm going to keep going too, because there's some more to go along with that verse. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay, now as you notice where I said, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And then in the next verse, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember, I said something just a while ago about the first love. We have forgotten our first love, and we need to repent, because we have gotten such involvement into hatred, to judgment, to condemnation. We don't know what the truth is anymore. We are evil within our own selves, and we got so much evil and wickedness. And at one time we served God, we wanted this, and we wanted to help others. We wanted everything that God wanted, but somehow or another we've fallen through our own evilness. We've fallen through our own thoughts and deceived ourselves, but yet we've fallen into the temptation of the world and started wanting what the world had to offer and not what God had to offer us anymore. We no longer want to help people, but we claim to be Christians, but yet we forget how real the story of the rich man and Lazarus really is. When Lazarus was just a beggar, but the rich man had everything and would not even feed Lazarus the crumbs off of his table when Lazarus asked. This man couldn't even take Lazarus into his home. The rich man woke up in torment, and Lazarus went to paradise. So we need to be careful. And when this says we've lost our first love, this is one way we have lost our first love, because we got greedy over power. We've gotten greedy and lust over money, and we don't want to share with those who do not have. We made all these excuses to why we should not help people, and we've told lies, and we've accused people of doing things, and that's basically turning our backs on God and walking away from Him. And we need to go back to our first love, because He holds it against us. You see what I'm saying there? And it's written in Scripture, and that's the best way I can explain to you how you can walk away from your first love. You can go into the evilness of the world very easily if you're not careful. And there are things I'm not perfect on either, but I have to be careful myself. And there's a lot of things that I think, hey, I can do this, and then I get quickened, or sometimes down the road 6 months later, something that struck me, hey, why have you been doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. Or why did you do that 6 months ago in this predicament? Or why did you say this for? So we need to be careful of certain things, and to always remember we're living in the end times now. And do we want to end up like the rich man, or do we want to end up like Lazarus? So let's go back to our first love and help one another. Encourage people. Stop all this discouragement. Stop turning people away from the house of God, because that's not what God is asking us to do. Now, I told you I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself when I read verse 2. Says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, I didn't want to get too far into what I was saying, but now I want you to pay attention to these next few scriptures I am about to read. Now, this is the message to Smyrna. So here we go. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. In parentheses it's written, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And what that means by the second death is like the rich man I just explained to you. When he ended up in torment, that was second death. So torment is hurting him because he's been tortured. He's been tormented into the pits of hell. And that's what the second death is. But if you repent and go back to your first love, which is Jesus Christ, you will never die. You'll never see the second death. And it will not hurt you because you'll be in paradise. You'll be in heaven. You will be there with him and safe. So, that's what second death is. Now, verse 2, and then here in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. Remember, but thou art rich is written in parentheses. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, remember in verse 2, we tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Now in verse 9, there are people saying they're Jews, but they are not, but they have the synagogue of Satan. That's what I was getting at about preachers and the prophets. And there are many people who claim to be Christians, but they are not. They go to church. They're calling upon Jesus' name. They're doing all these miracles in Christ's name. Those that believe in the Holy Spirit, where you speak in tongues and work through the gifts and laying hands on those that are sick to be healed, they're doing all these things. But to God, none of that matters because your heart is too far away from Him. There is a scripture in the New Testament that says, many will prophesy in my name. And Jesus is speaking this. Many will prophesy in my name and many will cast out demons in my name. But I will still tell them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. That's what verse 9 here is saying, that many of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So don't believe when people tell you they're a preacher. Don't believe somebody when they tell you they're a Christian, because you'll know by the fruits they bear. And if they're not bearing good fruits, then you know they're basically a synagogue of Satan. They're false. They're wolves in sheep clothing. You've tried their spirits as an apostle. You've tried and you found them as liars. So now you know they have a lying spirit on them. So they're not who they're saying they are, and they're trying to come and deceive you. And that's what's happening in today's world. All over this social media stuff, people are coming saying they're one way, but they're really living another way. They have the nice clothes on. They all look well presentable. But to God, that does not matter because He knows the inside. You can try to fool me on the physical part of your appearance by wearing nice dresses. If you're a woman, putting all your nice dress and fixing up your hair. If you're a man, trying to wear, you know, nice clothes, nice dress pants, a nice dress shirt or suit and tie. None of that matters to God. You can fool me into all of those appearance things and make me think, oh yeah, this is what you're supposed to be and this is how it's supposed to be done, but not at the end of life's road. I hate to tell you, not at the end of life's road. Nope. And see, and if you'll think about verse 2 here and verse 9 here of Revelations of chapter 2, go back to the sheep and the goats where Jesus said that the sheep will be on the right and the goats on the left on judgment day. And he says that he will tell the sheep, you fed me when I came, you clothed me when I came, and you gave me water to drink when I came. And to the goats, he says, you fed me not when I came, you clothed me not when I came, and you gave me no water to drink when I came. And both sheep and goats are going to ask, when did you come? And we did these things. And then the goats are going to say, when did you come? And we did not do these things. And Jesus is going to say, when I sent the people to you. See, if you're a sheep, you will want to go back to your first love and not do what the goats are doing and not pretend to be an apostle or a Jew. You don't want to pretend to be a preacher and just be in the ministry for the money. You don't want to deceive the congregation. And I've said this time after time, you're held to a higher standard if God calls you into the ministry. You're over the people's souls. You're responsible for this. Yes, you're not perfect. You're not. But you will know. And see, all these people who are out here judging and condemning, they're just waiting to see somebody to fall. Just like back last year, here it is, October. 11 months, not 12 months make a full year. So 11 months when this went down about one of the big well-known churches and people ridiculed the pastor that had an affair. And this took place in November 2020. Well, let me tell you, many people devoured that pastor for having an affair. But did you know there are small town pastors and evangelists in your own hometown having an affair with their own congregation? But nothing's been said. It might be gossip about, but it's still going on. But you let somebody with a big name that has fallen, and you will devour that person, and you should not do that. Not one person in any video I watched on social media say we need to pray for him. Pray that God's love and mercy and forgiveness would be up on him for this downfall and help this family where it won't cause a lot of conflict. I imagine that we're hurt, but they need the healing of this hurt. And maybe this pastor and his wife needed to sit down to find out why this happened. Was he so stressed trying to help people and staying on the road traveling and doing this? And maybe he felt lonely? Even women pastors are doing the same thing. Maybe something was there and they just felt vulnerable and weak. Because it doesn't matter who you are. Look at King David in the Old Testament. Look at what happened with him and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a married woman, but King David wanted her. And King David already had a wife. But people knew not to judge King David back then. For one thing, he could have him killed because he was king. But also at the same time, people knew you did not judge a prophet of God. You did not go against that because scripture says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Just because someone was preaching and you think they're wrong in their beliefs, you best look back again, because Revelation's telling you, you may be the one that it's been the fake. You're trying to say you're better than this person that was preaching. But nobody said, let's pray that God's mercy and forgiveness would be up on this pastor. But there, I heard a lot of wolves in sheep clothing devouring this man, laughing, mocking, and that's not of God. This is something very serious when a man or woman of God weakens and falls into adultery like this. This is very serious, and we don't have the right to judge and condemn them to hell when we're supposed to be praying and lifting them up. And you act like you've never been weak, and you're claiming to be a child of God. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're a leader in the house of God, but God didn't call you into that leadership. And then you want to talk about all this evil and wickedness in this earth, and you're so full of evil and wicked yourself. You're actually a wolf in sheep clothing, and you're claiming to be a Christian, and you're doing this and getting on social media. And shame on you pastors that seen your congregation doing this and not brought correction to them over this. Shame on you pastors who have preached against this, about this man falling. Like you ain't never done it. Some of you pastors are preaching against this man and you found an opportunity so you don't get called out. But I'm here to tell you, your darkness is coming to the light now. I have always heard my whole life growing up that when the world is on fire, the truth shall stand. Well, I got something to tell you, hypocrites. The world is on fire and the truth is going to stand. And many of you are not going to like where you truly stand with God. Many of you are not going to like it. Many of you ask, how could such a loving God destroy children? And take children's life like he did in the days of Noah throughout the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you why. Because evil parents like yourself that can judge and condemn somebody so harshly are teaching the children how to hate somebody of skin color and nationality and teach all this hate. You've corrupted your child. So that child has so much corruption in them because you taught this to them. So that's why God allows them to die and perish in his wrath and in his vengeance. And that's what you're going to see here from now on out. What we're living in is a cleansing, just like in the days of Noah. Children can become corrupted. Yes, Jesus said, suffer the little children that come unto him. But when you corrupt that child with hatred and full of lies and bitterness and teach your child how to hate against race and teach them how to hate of the nationality, and that's how it's supposed to be, and you're raising them up to thinking they should kill people or whatever it is with that hatred and violence, they're full of corruption. As they get older, that's how they are taught. So yes, that's why they're going to perish, because God sees that corruption and he don't want it. Remember, even in the Old Testament, it says if you have a rebellious child, bring them to the leaders of the city, and they will be killed. Because he don't like corruption. Children can be corrupted too. We're all God's creation. He gives us life and he can take it. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. He's blessed you with many things, but none of you are thankful. So do you want to be like verse 2 and verse 9 here of Revelation chapter 2? But remember, most of you, like verse 10 here says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Just like this man that fell, he can repent. He can be down on his hands and knees and repent like King David did when he had Bathsheba's husband killed because he did not want her husband finding out she was pregnant with his child. So you will cast somebody like this man into prison. And he was tried. This man got tried. And still today, people still pick on this man that fallen. And he was put into a prison spiritually, you could say, where people devoured him over this. But yet, it says, until thou be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This man could repent it, but none of you that wanted to devour this person wanted to see that he probably has came to repentance. After this happened, when all this went down, God brought his darkness to the light, and he was exposed for his affair, just like King David did with killing Bathsheba's husband. God punished him and took the baby's life. But this man still can repent. It didn't say God shut the door on him, but y'all devoured him. And you're calling yourself Christians, and most of you calling yourself preachers that were the ones to devour him and laugh and mock. This man could have repented, and you have not repented of your mockery, of you even devouring this man, being a wolf in sheep clothing as you are. You have not yet repented and still calling yourself Christians. But this man will get the crown of life if he repented for his affair. And you could be in the second death and being hurt. This man, if he repented as the pastor that committed this adultery, he'll be in heaven wearing a crown and was safe from the second death and don't have to be hurt through the torment of death. Does that make sense? Now, this is what Revelations chapter 2, I read to you some of Revelations chapter 2 here. Now, I will pick back up next week and do the other half of chapter 2 here. So, stay tuned until next week. Don't forget to subscribe and follow. Share this out with others. Thank you so much for listening.